Hey, how's it going out there? Welcome back. It's us. Can you believe it? We've actually made it to another week of life. That's right. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You're in fact listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe show. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going excellent. And I want to know the name of the song. First of all, let me tell you what's going on in my vivid imagination.
All right, cool. Tell me what's going on your vivid magazine nation.
Well, because I don't think I've ever heard the song.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
But then now I'm starting to feel like this should be familiar. But what I'm picturing in my head is this mass of salt and pepper shakers coming together in an assembly line type ordeal, and then they start dancing. But then they all start getting out of the warehouse. They're like, let's make a run for it, guys. And so all these salt and pepper shakers are busting a move and then getting out of there.
So does that mean you actually want me to tell you what the song is?
Yeah.
You might be, I don't know if you'd be surprised by it because of what's coming out this weekend of this show airing.
Is this a Men in Black song?
This is the Men in Black theme
from
the song, yeah.
Why am I picturing salt and pepper shakers?
Because the fucking Men in Black is awesome, guys.
But it has a shaky noise,
Does it really have that shaky noise?
Yeah, it's like that.
It does have that shaky noise.
It's that instrument in elementary school that had those little balls, those little, what are they?
Like that fish? You rub together?
Well, that one's more wooden. The one that I was thinking of is similar in nature, but it's balls, these silver balls that you rub together. What is that called? But it's kind of like the fish.
I have no idea what that is, actually. I have no clue.
But do you know what I mean? It's like a cylinder, and you rub it.
And you rub, the salt shaker.
Yeah, maybe.
That's really what they call it. They call it the salt shaker.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was picturing, so maybe that's what it is.
I mean, I thought it'd just be cool for me to actually have that song be the...
I thought the Men in Black theme song was the Will Smith that's "We are the Men in Black."
I mean, that's a song made for the
That's what I picture as the theme song.
Yeah, but in all actuality, it's
It's really the salt and pepper shaker.
Why does it feel like I'm the only one that cares that Men in Black is coming out Memorial Day weekend?
Maybe
everyone
I
talk about.
10 years.
It doesn't even matter. That makes it even better. I'm a massive fan of Men in Black. I'm gonna let that out there now, as whatever the history books will say that is recorded, that Joe is a huge fan of Men in Black.
The Galaxy Defenders.
Yes, the Galaxy Defenders. I don't know what's wrong with people, man. I do know what's wrong with them. They're humans. But on a real note, I'm a massive fan of Men in Black. I love the comedy of it. I love the fact that it's a bigger secret society than anything else, than everything in this whole entire planet. It's like the CIA, but for the nation, for the whole entire world. You know what I mean? But to sum it all up, I wanted to be in the Men in Black. That's how much I love Men in Black.
You wanted to be Agent J?
Yes, Agent Joe.
Agent Joe?
Agent J.
What about Agent MJ? Michael Jackson was in it.
You can call me Agent M. You can call me Agent MJ.
You can call me Agent MJ. You're all ignorant.
Yes, exactly. I don't know what's up with that. I seem to be the only one that's really excited about it,
If Michael was here, he would be too. You and Michael.
I mean, I just thought it was really cool about stuff like that. But before I go into that, do we have any news since the news music is playing? Curls news.
All right. Well, we just finished our first event. Our first event of the year, our first tour stop of the year at Asbury Park.
You're making these hand motions like the world can see it.
Yeah, I'm raising my hand up. We finished our first event.
She's excitedly springing her hands into action, ladies
and gentlemen.
And
that was on May 12th. Let's do a little recap of that event.
It was pretty awesome. I know last week technically, but we did have that pre-recorded show with the brothers Sarvis. Those are always pretty good guys to have. But yeah, that was a really cool show. Had no idea what to expect going into it.
And
Long car ride.
It was at Asbury Lanes, which is this rundown retro bowling alley. And then at night they turn it into a music club.
Yeah.
And so it was cool. So we basically took over the bowling alley, and it is like very retro looking. They had an old photo booth, which was really rocking.
Yeah.
And basically like all the designs of the atmosphere looked great. And everyone set up their tables. I thought it was like a really diverse crowd of small press entrepreneurs. A lot of people came from New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C. area, yeah. Maryland. So a whole bunch of people came. And so that was very exciting. Let's see.
It was on the beach.
Yeah, it was like seriously a block from the boardwalk.
That was the first convention I've been to that's like you can basically afterwards just walk straight to the beach. And that was super cool.
What would be amazing, though, it would be really hard. It would really be really hard.
A convention in the air.
Or, like, just be actually set up tables on the boardwalk. It would be hard to coordinate the weather, because if it rains, it's kind of like, okay, well, we can't have the convention.
Well, that's why you have it at a place that never rains, like in
Wouldn't that be amazing, though, if it was on the boardwalk? You'd get so much boardwalk traffic. I don't know if there would be, like, rules about having vendors out there on the, you know,
probably the same rules.
Stuff.
Probably the same rules as any vendor.
But that would be so amazing there, you know? To, like, just, like, chill out and you're, like, looking at your table and then you're just looking at the beach.
That's true, yeah.
That would be really amazing. But, yeah, it was a really fun time. We did really well, like, in terms of everything.
No one wants to hear about our money situation.
No, I'm just saying.
Or do they?
No,
I don't know.
I think people do.
I don't know.
I think people care because, like, you know, maybe other people are wondering, oh, should I do that show next year or... when, you know, all this other stuff, and I think it's a good show to do. Like, I'm reviewing the show as, like, in general, as everything. And it was interesting because a lot of people that were there were like, this is my first Comic-Con ever. And they seemed really open to trying all different types of comics, not just Marvel and DC. Nothing against them, but, you know, we're competing against everybody in the world, so it's kind of nice to reach out to people that have never been to a comic show before.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And, like, a couple people dressed up, which I was not expecting cosplay at this show.
Yeah.
But it was cool to see that. And then, what else? Let's see. We ate tater tots. Those were really good.
You said we ate tater tots?
Yes, that's what I said. We ate tater tots, and it was great. Let's see. What else was going on? I don't know. I think that everyone just had a really good time. Everyone was smiling. The organization was good. Overall, I would, like, suggest that, like, as an attendee, I would suggest that people check it out. And as an exhibitor, I would suggest that.
But the Asbury Lanes have a history on their own, though, too, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a bowling alley.
I mean, it's like a retro bowling alley. Yeah, it really is. It's not your, like, average Bowl America.
Not your average Bowl America, which is pretty much all I ever see now. It's like Bowl America or AMC.
AMF or something?
Yeah, AMF bowling. And like that's what it was really interesting.
I think AMF is Asbury Lanes, though. They had that little logo outside. You know where the triangle, it says where you see the magic hidden triangle or whatever?
But it feels different.
It said AMF on it.
Like there's...
But it's like an older type, you know?
Yeah,
It's still operating and they're keeping it alive.
Yeah, that was what was really amazing about that to me. You know, it was like the fact that, like, it had that, it felt like it had history in there.
Because,
mm-hmm. This was definitely a place that I heard about, that I read about, you have rock shows here, you know what I mean? You have a lot of indie rock shows or rock shows in general, but also they have, like, burlesque dancing that happens in this mm-hmm. vicinity. I feel like that's one of the things that, like, attracted the place to me. Was like, oh man, this place has history. We should be part of history too.
Yeah, the reason, like, I guess I can claim, like, when I first heard of Asbury Lanes, or just like that area, was Angie Pontani was doing a show there. And so then when the Asbury Comic Con came around, and I found out about it, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to go there and see what it's all about. And like, because I've heard of the history, but I've never been there. So it was good to see it. But another cool find that happened after the show was we were walking the boardwalk, and Joe actually noticed this place that said casino, and it was like this abandoned building.
I think it was even before that, because we were walking around with Rafer, mm-hmm. you know.
And Rafer from Plastic Farm.
Yeah, Plastic Farm. Go check it out. And, you know, there was that feeling I had. I was like, this feels like something. And I saw that big building. Like the torn down building said casino out in front. And I don't know, the first thing that popped in my mind was like, this reminds me of like that scene from The Wrestler. You know,
so
when
you knew that from way far away.
Well, from looking at it, you know, this it could only be one, and I knew that movie was shot in Jersey. You know, it were in the Northeast, so you know those things put together. I was like, in my head, I was like, I wonder if this is the spot because
you did comment on that, like as we're walking, you're like, oh, I think they shot the wrestling.
And everyone else was like, whatever, Joe, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
No, no. But I was just like, I wasn't denying your knowledge or like anything. I was just like in a good mood, and I was like really surprised. I was like, no way. What, you know, whatever.
So that's what a good mood happens.
I don't know, but I was like in a
whenever
breezy...
everyone's in a good mood, they always seem to reject all of Joe's ideas.
I wasn't like fully convinced, and I was just like walking around and I was like, what? I don't remember all that, and like blah blah blah. And then as we start approaching that building that says casino on it, I was like, oh my gosh, Joe, you're right. Like this is the wrestler.
What a surprise.
Yeah, and I quickly acknowledged that you were, and I never like fully denied it. I wasn't like, no, you're
no
it
fuck
was never
Joe,
filmed
fuck
here.
You, Joe, sit down. Go sit in the corner.
I was never like that. I was just kind of like in an unbelievable state. That's like, no way they can film here.
For one thing, that was the first time I've ever been on the Jersey Shore, like in that era or Asbury Park, and you kept on you promoted it as the land of Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah. It is definitely the land of Bam Bam Bigelow.
And
but it was cool to see that moment in the wrestler is when what's his name? The Ram.
Well,
he
it's
takes
like, yeah,
his
that's,
daughter.
Yeah, it's like that Mickey Rourke and his daughter has like his estranged daughter finally have a father and daughter moment. Yeah, that's that's like an important piece of the story. It's like you show like the relationship the nice relationship that they could have. As they sneak into a section, like a blocked off section of this casino building, whatever it used to be, you know, and they do like a dance and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, I mean, that's a crucial element for me to see that.
We got to see that room though. We like, there's like a hole that you could look through, and we're like, oh my gosh, that's the room that they danced in. Yeah. And then inside we saw like a rundown carousel. It was really rundown. And there was one horse standing.
Yeah.
I was like, there's one horse right there. And then everyone wanted to look at it. But yeah, like, I mean, it was, who knows what that place was like at its heyday, but it looked pretty cool. And it seems like the whole town of Asbury is trying to rebuild itself. Like, they're keeping, like, the retro
vibe. What'd you think about that town?
I thought it was pretty nice. I mean, we really only got to see it for a couple hours outside of the show. And the boardwalk is surprisingly not very long. Like, I thought it would be longer, in all honesty. I was a little bit... I don't want to use the word disappointed, but I was a little bit...
You were disappointed?
But I was like, I want to walk longer, you know? And it's really only about a half mile. It wasn't even a full mile from what I could tell. I don't think it was a full mile.
Did we walk the whole entire walk of that?
We pretty much did. Because on one end is like the residential, like, Christian area, they were calling it.
Is that what that was? The further down?
There was like a cross. And then when you went to the other side of it...
Christian town?
Yeah, Christian town. And then... they did have like a lot of games, like pinball games. There was this one place that was full of pinball games.
That was pretty cool because they were actually like holding like even a wedding reception there and stuff like that.
There was like a lot of weddings going on.
I was really like looking forward to like seeing all the pinball games that they have because like that's when I looked in, it was like a whole entire arcade, but not really. They had instead of like wall to wall like video games, they had wall to wall like pinball. And like to me, growing up, like going to the arcades, I played a lot of pinball. I was ready to throw down, man. I was like, pinball? I kick pinball's ass.
So next time when we go, we can play.
It's $7.50 for 30 minutes.
That was a discounted price, too, because the wedding was about to start.
Oh, really?
Or the reception. Yeah.
What a cool place to have a reception. But even though I was like, wow, I mean, that really brought back memories of like wanting to play like pinball. I don't know if you were ever a fan of playing pinball, but like I enjoyed pinball like a whole lot because there's like this spontaneity of like you really don't know what's going to happen. And they have some really, really crazy whacked out pinball games like Addams Family Pinball, Terminator Pinball, all types of Simpsons Pinball. It's amazing. They got some crazy, crazy stuff on there. I love, for me, pinball, the more crazier, the better, because really what's cool, it's like for one thing, you're not looking at like, you know, like no, I'm not against video games. But like it's cool to see a ball go through like its own little adventure and you try to like, you know, get the high score. And also you
there's something practical about it.
Yeah.
Like it's not like 3D up in your face.
Yeah, and you get to like, you know, you have those little there's like games inside of a game and stuff
bells
like that.
And whistles.
Everyone has their own like style of like popping the ball like out to kind of, like to shoot out. You know, I thought that was like really interesting. It's also a game that's, yeah, it's a game of chance, but it's also a game of like skill to see how well you can like measure it out. I always thought that was pretty awesome. I really love pinball. I should buy a pinball game.
I like how like when I try to get the pinball to not go down the hole, I like hit it like several times and then it starts slowing down.
What do you
and
mean?
It gets stuck on like the
Flipper?
The flip, yeah.
Yeah, or the paddle or the flipper.
Yeah.
That was crucial when you lock in the paddle or the flipper, whatever you call it in, so it pops that you can like measure up where you want to hit it. I was pretty fucking good at that shit. Those were the days.
We're going to have to see next time. Okay, next time we go to Asbury Park. Hopefully
we can go to any pinball game and I'll show you what's up.
Okay, well, I don't really see them that often. That's
yeah, you literally don't see pinball games anymore.
So down the boardwalk, they had that pinball place was pretty cool. They had tons of places to eat. They had a fortune teller that looked just like Dean's mom from the Carnival anthology that we put out.
Yeah.
Let's see. They had a pizza joint. We ate at the pizza joint. They had like henna tattoo places, ice cream places. You know, it was that type of boardwalk fair. But I don't know. I personally expected it to be a little bit longer. I guess what I was expecting was
that's
kind of
what she
Atlantic
said.
City. That's what she said. I was kind of expecting to be like it like a rundown Atlantic City.
That's what it was.
No, but longer.
Well, I guess they do. Jersey does have Atlantic City.
Yeah. So they're like we have as we were. Yeah. Apparently they have like a whole bunch of like little beaches and boardwalks.
Well, if you think about the way that everything is laid out, it sort of just keeps on going down the line of the water, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it just follows the ocean line.
I don't know, I was just expecting like more. I don't know why.
You were expecting Atlantic City.
No, not that big, but I was but it is kind of cool how they are reviving, like they do embrace the retro. Like I like this whole terminology of like if it isn't broke, don't fix it, or if it's not broke
ain't broke don't fix it
type yeah. thing, or like they can fix up what's broken type thing and like keep it running.
Yeah,
so I like what they're doing with the city, and they're like also establishing it more.
Yeah.
And then as we were driving out, I noticed that there was like this whole block, not necessarily near the boardwalk, but when you kind of leave I guess to go towards the highway, there's this, I wish we kind of like saw more of that area, because it looked like they had really cool like antique shops or just cool boutiques that were like one of a kind stores.
Yeah, like inside the convention area?
No, not that. I'm talking about when we were leaving. It wasn't on the boardwalk. When we were leaving, we were driving out. We were looking for gas at the end. And there was a couple cool streets that I saw that had like cool little shops.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I wish like we could have checked that out, but maybe next time. I just wanted to see what was
there. It's only 4 hours away. You know?
Yeah.
An hour away from New York.
Do you think that we came the furthest?
That we came the furthest?
Yeah.
Like out of everyone there?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't go around and take a poll or anything, but
I don't know. I never really got a chance to talk to people.
Yeah.
I was at the table, man.
It seemed like most people.
You're the one who gets to go out and talk. I usually stay there and hustle. That's my hustle.
You're a hustler.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a hustler, sir. I did get to get the Beast of Burden book signed by Evan Dorkin.
Yeah.
So it was pretty nice. Yeah, I mean, like, he was, I guess, like, if there was, like, the big star, he was the big star of the show. But yeah, I'm, like, really looking forward to definitely having another appearance at Asbury Park Comic Con.
I think so. I'm looking forward to that, too, because there's, like, really cool people. You know, I that's what I feel like. I don't know where the comic book store is around in Asbury Park. Or if there even is one.
I don't think
one.
They have a comic book store nearby. Well, I guess maybe 20 minutes away is the Kevin Smith Red Bank.
Oh, is it?
The secret stash.
People were talking trash about that, too, or from what I heard.
Well, also, the guys from Comic Book Men.
Yeah, they were there.
They were there, Mike and Ming. I didn't get to straight up talk to them.
What do you mean, straight up talk to them?
Well, I talked to, like, one of, I guess it was Mike. Because Ming, I'm assuming, is the Asian guy.
Yeah, what'd he say? He's like, hey, what's up? You're a girl? You make comics? That's unreal.
No, he didn't. We didn't even get into any of that. But basically, we were in line to, like, pay for parking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was like a mind. It wasn't even a real conversation. It was just like, because we both kind of arrived at the same time two different sides. And then I was, like, motioning for him to, like, pay first. And he was like, no, you go.
You know,
that was pretty much our conversation.
You know, I saw him, too. And, you know, the main reason why I knew it was him.
His hockey jersey.
Well, because he was basically promoting his own show.
On Sir.
What was I doing? I was wearing a Toast shirt. So it was like.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Well, let's get started with like a rundown of our 2012 tour. But that was a good recap of Asbury Park Comic Con. I hope you guys go to the next one. But our next date is June 10th. It's the Team Cul-de-Sac book launch event. And I'm going to be there. And hopefully Richard Thompson will be there. And if you don't know about Team Cul-de-Sac, let me tell you about it. It's a group of cartoonists, and we got together to fight Parkinson's disease, and the book raises money for the Michael J. Fox Foundation, and Richard Thompson is a cartoonist who does the comic strip Cul-de-Sac, and he actually has Parkinson's disease. So basically, all of these cartoonists came together to tribute to his comic strip. So what I've done is I created a Curls comic strip that involved the Cul-de-Sac characters with my characters. And like, luckily that was selected to be a part of the book, and it will be published. I think like the official release date is June 5th, but on June 10th, there's going to be, I guess the launch event. They're going to have, small appetizers, and you can get your book signed by the creators that will be there. And it will be at One More Page Books in Arlington, Virginia. And all the info is on curls-studio.com.
Curls-studio.com. All the info you need to know.
So June 10th, that's in a few weeks, we will be there. And then on July 7th, Southern Maryland Comic Con. July 28th, DC Zine Fest. September 8th and 9th, Baltimore Comic Con. We're coming for you. And then September 15th and 16th, Small Press Expo. And October 27th, Annapolis Comic Con. So those are our official confirmed tour dates so far for this year.
And they
year.
Should be, as the dates come closer, we should be updating them with more.
With more info as we get it.
Yes. And if you want us at your show, let us know. Let us know. You can find, are we just throwing our names out there?
Or let the promoter know.
Yeah, or let the promoter know. Or yeah, let them all know. You know, you can find me, Astray J, on Twitter, at Karen Bolevsky on Twitter as well. You know, whatever. What are we talking about? Pinball. I want there to, yeah, it's like I never even see pinball ever at the arcade. I was just at the arcade, not just, but the last time I was at an arcade, a real arcade, you know, with video games and stuff on there, I didn't see any pinball really. I saw like the shoot ball or whatever that with you.
Ski ball.
I saw like Dance Dance Revolution.
DDR.
I saw all this stuff where you can shoot stuff, but not really a pinball.
Pinball needs
shit.
To make a comeback.
It is awesome. What is wrong with?
I had that Legette's pinball idea where like the girls' legs would be the flippers.
Yeah.
And it would be like the Legette's world.
So you can't really like. I feel like pinball is
that'd be so awesome.
Pinball is definitely like a carnival aesthetic too because it makes noises and sounds like doo 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 doo. Oh, you made it one more time. Stuff like that. You want a new game? It's like
we need to bring it back.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Pinball is not an easy game. It's not easy. When was the last time you played a pinball game?
Is there a
game?
Pinball championship?
Probably is, man. Probably all over the place.
We
right?
need to enter it. You should enter it.
I should enter
talk
it.
Such a good game.
I did actually enter several pinball game contests back in the day.
Was it an official thing?
Well, you know, the point is you have...
Do you get a trophy?
Well, the ones I played... You had at least like you had like 2 minutes or a minute to see how many points you can get at this pinball, at a one pinball game. You know, then you escalate upward like that.
Pinball is pretty fun. Man, we should go back to Asbury and play it.
Or we should just go on eBay and buy all of them. How expensive would
it be? Then we
would
like just have no money to like produce anything else.
I beg to differ. I say we open up our
own
pinball store.
Those are expensive. How much do you think a pinball machine is? It's probably like $4,000.
No, that's different. How much is it to repair a pinball game? That's expensive.
Yeah, who are you even gonna get to do it? It has to be some expert that's like the guy in
pinball
Hugo.
Master,
like basically Hugo, get him to do it.
Yeah, Hugo, little kid's gonna try to steal my shit. you're
can play
off
all your
can you sign this? I'm not signing that. I have good memories of pinball. So now I really wish I went over there, but they had a wedding going on
and
all that janks.
You didn't want to invade the wedding.
Who says who?
Well, that's why you kind of were like, nah, they have something else going on.
That's
Let's
true.
Not do it.
It's also
Next
like
time.
The way I was thinking about it, the way that, I forget what it's called. What's it called? Jersey Shore Arcade. So it's $7.50 for, I'm guessing it's supposed to be $15 for 30 minutes.
I'm not quite sure. But it's half price off. Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
Well, see, like, the
way, kind of pricey.
Well, see, the way I think about it is this. You can easily spend over 30 minutes at a pinball game. You know
so
what I mean?
So how are you supposed to get around to, like, playing all of them?
I don't know.
It's I guess you just spend $50 and just be there all day.
It's not, yeah.
I wonder if they have an all-day pass.
That would be awesome. $20 all-day pass? Do you think they should bring back arcades?
I mean, I think they should, but the thing is like, is there such demand for it? I mean, yeah, there's, like, this nostalgia for, like, older people, but are young kids going to get back into it? Or are they going to be like, I want it 1 inch from my face?
Kids don't even know about, I guess the arcade is now online. That's where
that's
really
what I'm
what
saying.
It is.
So it's like, but I think the cool thing about pinball is all the things you were describing, like the sounds and the interaction. Like, you're not going to get that full atmosphere when you're online.
See, in all truth, that's what's being lost now since everything's online and stuff like that. You don't get that sort of face-to-face. All you have is, like, this Ender's Game combat that happens where you're, like, distance. You're, like, you know, you're so far away and you're killing people from, like, this far away and you don't even know it.
But if you didn't, if you weren't online, you wouldn't be, like, we wouldn't have our podcast. Or we'd have to, like, do our own, like, ham radio show.
Yeah, it would do
and
the same
thing. Only, like, a neighborhood can listen to it.
Yeah, why not? That's how you blow up.
Then they're like, did you hear that? Did you hear that? And then, like, people are like, no, I can't even get that reception.
What are you talking about?
Ham radio.
How far does the ham radio go?
I don't know. Not very far, I don't think. So, you know, we have, like, the cool thing about the internet is you have, like, that global, you know, there's so many pros and cons.
I mean, at the end of the day, but either way, you can't play pinball on the internet and get that same exact experience.
No, you can't.
It's another example of, like, just like, you know, that's the changing of the, it's obviously the changing of the times. It's like, okay, I guess video games are better than video games playing online instead of an arcade. I guess that's good because now you don't have fights in person, because that used to be where the shit happens, man.
It's when the knife fights happen.
That's where you'd be, yeah, that's where shit goes. There you have people surrounding you, like in the back, you know, like two people are playing a game like on Street Fighter or something like that, and you have a crowd gather around you. You're not going to get that on the internet.
But you know what? They do have arcades. They have arcades, like they have them in movie theaters, like even in Tyson's Corner. They have a little arcade there.
Yeah, but those are pathetic. That's not like the streets. There's like only, arcades used to be part of the streets,
like,
man. There's
only six games in it.
Arcades used to be where all the bad kids go and hang out and like not be bad.
What about at every bowling alley? There's like a small arcade in almost every bowling
alley.
See,
and that's another thing is like all that stuff is sort of like from back in the day. If you think of bowling, like actually like anything involving like those like rolling of balls and stuff like that. It feels like everything from back in the day involved like playing with balls.
What do they play with now?
Ones and zeros, man.
Space bar?
Guns. They play with digitized
guns.
Yeah,
like, I don't even need a real... I can have my own gun.
So I don't know if they made... It's tough to gauge whether time is better now or back then. Because now, I mean, the video games are really pretty awesome.
The kids don't know what they're missing. Exactly. So, like, they probably think that right now is the shit, you know?
That's what I was always wondering about. Like, people hear music today, it's sort of like... Who are just growing up? Do they think it's pretty awesome? But then they don't really know how, if it was good. You know what I mean? What are they
missing?
I don't
know. When you were young, did you think that like your parents' music was like crap? You know, or were you like, oh, that's old fogey stuff? Is that how you treated music back when you like didn't have your full taste of music knowledge?
Yeah, because I didn't know what the fuck I was listening to.
So that's exactly what the kids are doing now. Like young kids now are probably like Frank Sinatra. What? That's old fogey stuff. I'm not listening to that.
You're like, what? That doesn't sound like Katy Perry.
Yeah,
you know, why is there no hip hop version of this song? Why is there no remix? You know, why is there no female hook?
And then like when they get like more mature, like let's say like age 24, they might like broaden their tastes of music and then like actually listen to something like Frank Sinatra and be like, you know what, actually I give this respect. You know, like they can
I give this respect.
Yeah. Like they might not listen to it every day, but like you can at least respect it.
That's why I almost feel like musicians today, the good musicians, they still give good tributes and callbacks to the musicians that came before them.
You got to.
You know, like they would, you know, they would say, they would revisit their history. They would say it, you know?
Or sometimes the older people use the younger people so that they can get airplay, like Santana.
Santana or Tony Bennett.
Yeah.
Bringing it back.
They have like the duets. Even like I don't watch American Idol at all, but or Glee or something. Don't they like, you know, they'll acknowledge the olders, their elders.
Their olders?
Yeah, their elders.
The others?
The others. Stay away from the others.
Why do you say the others always in the accent of the Asian guy?
Because that's how he said it on Lost. He's like, the
others.
Because what did they call them in the village? Because it was Sawyer. Those that could not be seen or something. What was it in the village in Night Shyamalan's?
Those who will not be named.
Those who will not be named. Isn't that kind of like the others?
No, because the others is naming them.
And then it's like, shh, we can't talk about those who will not be named.
Like, what are we supposed to talk about then?
Not them. First rule of Fight Club. Not to talk about those who will not be named. So I was at the grocery store last Friday, and I usually like to go to Safeway on Fridays really quick. And
you know, Safeway is only in our area, right?
Really?
I don't know. Is there more Safeways?
There's gotta be more. Anyway, it's a grocery store.
I never even see Safeway down in Richmond area or south.
Because they have U-Crops.
They don't even have U-Crops.
Weren't they brought out? They were bought out.
They were brought out.
They were bought out.
What is it? I forget what it is now.
I don't know. I haven't been down there in a while.
Jimmy John's. So you're at Safeway.
Yeah, so I was basically at the grocery store at the marketplace.
Basically at the
because they have $5 Fridays and they have like really good deals sometimes on the pizza. So you can just like bring back a frozen pizza for $5.
Yeah.
It's like pretty awesome. But anyway, so I was there and the lady, I was in the express item line, 15 items or less. And the lady before me, she's on her cell phone. The check.
It's my cell phone.
Yeah, the customer before me, she's on her cell phone, and which first of all I'm like, okay, that's rude. But she only had like a couple items, so I was like, okay, I'll go.
Was she an older lady? Was she a younger lady? Was she a teenager?
Well, guess which race she was.
Asian.
Of course, you are right. Ding ding ding. And then,
what does that mean that she's Asian?
She was kind of being like rude to the cashier, and the cashier was like this young white boy. And I don't know what age.
Asian young white boy.
I don't know his age. Maybe like early 20s.
He's not German. He's not Yugoslav.
I don't know what his like official.
He's white boy.
Was. He was just like this white.
Pretty
kid.
Fly for a white guy.
Anyway, but then she was like, I forget her exact phrase, but it was. Oh no, it was give it to me. Like she wanted the
give
receipt.
What? Oh,
like, she's on the phone. And she only purchased like a couple things.
And she's paying no mind to what's really happening.
Yeah, she like basically gave like zero respect to the cashier, which I think is like a little rude. It's like, you know, I know cell phones are everywhere and you can have access every time, but like, can't you just like tell the person, be like, okay, I'm gonna purchase these items. I'll call you right back.
Do you know, like, was she talking out loud? Could you like pick up what she was talking about?
No, she was just like on the phone, but not really even talking. Like maybe she was listening to someone.
Oh, she was on the phone. Oh, so she wasn't like. Like playing like words with
Bejeweled?
Friends or something like that.
No.
What do you mean Bejeweled? What the hell is that?
It's like the game that has like those. It's kind of like Tetris or something, but then there's jewels, or you match the jewels and then they disappear.
And then when she wins, she can be a bejazzled at the end. Of
actually,
that.
The Bejeweled is one of the number one games for women. And actually, I've heard that women gamers like around age 50 are like really on their eyes. Which it sounds surprising, but it's like they're like the top gamers.
So they're coming up?
Yeah, but they play different types of games. Like they're not out there playing, I don't know what other.
See, there's nothing geeky anymore.
But they play like Bejeweled and Farmville and whatever else type Sudoku or something.
Yeah.
Like, but it's on the rise. Like it's actually pretty prominent, which is, in my opinion, kind of surprising. But then I'm like, wow, I guess, you know, something for everyone in the gaming world now.
Yeah.
Anyway,
as well as it should
so
be,
this
just
Asian
like how
lady,
books
she,
and everything.
She's not necessarily, I don't know if she's having a conversation, but she has her phone up to her ear. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
And she was just like, first of all, that. And then second of all, she's like, give it to me. Like the receipt. And
oh, okay. Like not rude. On the phone.
No, like she was motioning with her hand, like, give me. Like she was doing like an Alberto Del Rio type hand motion.
But she
like,
was being, be a, like, she it. Was being a bitch.
Pretty much so. And so then, like, you could tell that the cashier just, like, handed it to her, and then, like, off she went. And, you know, like, already...
Off she went to her guy.
Already...
Who's gonna pay for everything.
Already...
Because that's what she likes.
Already in my head, I'm like, man, that lady was jerk. But then you can, like, see...
that lady was jerk.
Then you can see, like, in the cashier's face how he was, like, upset by it. And then he kind of was just like, jeez... And he's just like, he even like pointed out to me, and then he was like, man, that lady had her phone, and he was like, she was so rude to be like, give it to me.
Yeah.
And then like, I just kind of did like a nod thing. And then like, I'm like swiping my card to pay for my stuff. And I kind of wanted to get out there as quick as possible because I could tell that he was like disgruntled.
So you weren't going to comfort him and make some sort of smart comment like that?
No, I didn't really like want to deal with it because like,
You're not dealing. You're trying to be a hero.
Well, this is how the conversation went, because he was like, well, do you ever get any stuff like that, like where you work or something?
See, he was looking for comfort, and you're like, I need to get the fuck out of here. No, I want to deal with this drama right now.
I didn't want to because it was Friday night. Instead of being like, give me,
you're just like, get away.
No, but then
get away.
And then
fuck
like
you.
So basically, my answer, I was like, well, I'm a graphic designer, so we absorb a different type of abuse. It's not necessarily a customer thing.
Yeah.
And then he was just like, oh, really? He's like, cool. He's like, I like art and stuff like that. And then
I love when they say that. I love art.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he was like. And then I was like, and I just kind of nodded, and I was like, yeah, it can be fun sometimes. But then I was like, it's not really about art. It's like about communication. And then it's almost like he didn't understand what I meant when I said that. And then he added, he was like, well, I took a computer graphics class in high school, and I really liked it. And then he was like, so how do I get into that? And then I just kind of replied. I was like, well, I went to VCU. It was a really good school. Like, to motion him to, like, go to school for it instead of just taking one class in high school. I mean, that's fine and dandy, but... Yeah.
I don't know how old he is, though.
I don't know either, but if I had to guess, maybe, like, early 20s.
Yeah.
But it's almost like, well, you need to get... I didn't get on a whole spiel of him, because then, like, at that point, he already started, like, working on the other person's groceries.
Okay.
And so I'm like kind of like, okay, well, peace out. I'm kind of like, I can't just sit there and talk to you. But then I was just like, well, I went to VCU, so like, you know, like you got to get the education for it. And then, I mean, you don't have to, but most people do.
Yeah.
And there are like really good designers that I've seen that haven't had any education, but I can't give you a reason why they're really good at what they do. They just are naturally good at that.
Yeah.
But I think I would say that most people do get an education in it. I didn't get all into that with him, but I was just like, and then
he has the next person.
Yeah, he was already like doing the next person. And then
15 items or less, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the express.
It was pretty express.
How much conversation can you have in the express
lane? Not that much. But then in my head, so I told him about the school thing, and then it was pretty much just like that. And then like, but then he was kind of like shruggish, like,
he's like, I gotta go to school now.
Yeah, he gave me like this feeling that, like, I mean, I'm not trying to degrade his job at the grocery store, but it's kind of like, well, in my head, we didn't get this far into the conversation, but in my head, I'm like, well, do you have a portfolio? Like, you can't just say I took one class.
Yeah.
And then be like, oh, I want to do that. But I guess he was having a bad day, and like, you know, this is the one other part of the conversation, because he was like, do you get stuff like that? And then I was like, I'm a designer. We have a different type of abuse. And then he was like, oh, what type of abuse?
So he thought you work retail?
I don't know what he thought, but he was just like, do you ever get stuff like that? And I was like, you know, I get a different type of abuse. And then he said, what type of abuse? And then, like, I was, like, scrambling, because in my head I was like,
you're 15 items or less.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, I'm trying to check out, you
we're
know?
Like a ten, where you're, like, a 10-item line at this point.
Yeah, and I didn't even purchase that much things. I only maybe had 4 or 5 things. And then I was, and also I wasn't, like, prepared for this conversation at all to be talking about, like, my work. For me, it was, like, my Friday. I'm on weekend now. I'm on weekend mode.
You're like, fuck work. What are you trying to talk about my work for?
But then he was like, so what type of abuse?
So you don't know me?
You don't know me, boy. But then, like...
You know me, boy.
But then I was just... He's like, so what type of abuse? And then, like, I was like, the first thing that came to my mind, I was like, I don't know. Well, maybe designing a website... already having it designed and then getting the what's it called, like the chart that you get with the sitemap.
Yeah.
I was like, getting the sitemap like after you already designed a website. And then he kind of looked puzzled, like he didn't know what I was talking about. But basically it would be like you designed a website already and then you basically get the map for how everything should be as far as navigation after it's already designed. which is kind of unhelpful because it should be the other way around.
Makes no sense, right?
Yeah. So, but I don't know if he understood what I meant. And then that's
why would he? But why would he?
I don't know. But he took one class, so he must, you know. But
no, he's not.
But I guess.
Have you gotten anything by taking one class?
No.
High school class?
But I guess it was fun, you know. Like, that's how he was like, oh, well,
specifically
art is fun. Because, like, for those type of kids, basically, like, pushing stuff around on the page and choosing colors and Photoshop and running a couple filters. But guess what? That's not graphic design. But that's why I tried to emphasize to him that it's more about communication. And then he kind of looked puzzled, like, what?
Oh, it's not just making it look cool?
Yeah, it's not. Oh, it's not just, like, picking a color with the palette, like, with the, like, eyedropper tool. like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not all fun. Like, make this blue, make this yellow. It's fun. You know, like, that's not being graphic designer.
Make this blue, make this yellow. Oh, man, graphic design.
That's what some people think it is. I'm like, oh, look at these cool typefaces. Man, I can sit here all day and just pick up these typefaces and change colors all day long.
And then what? Civilian?
They don't go for the abuse. But I'm not necessarily saying that my job is, like, abusive, but there is, like, some stuff that goes on in any job. It's not just, like, this current job, but, like, it's a different type of abuse. But then I, like, realized, I'm like, oh, I guess people get abused everywhere. Like, even if you work at the grocery store. Like, he didn't deserve to have that girl before, or that Asian lady before us, like, talk on the phone and be like, gimme!
So, like, I mean, the question is this, it's like, yeah, you do get that, people would get that abuse, but it's like, what's your response to it? Do you just sort of submit to it, or do you...
Well, what I didn't like about it is that he brought me into it, because I was just, like, in line.
Yeah, you're like, I just have 3 items.
Yeah, like, I'm just checking out, and then it starts to get too much into, like, oh...
Your life?
Yeah, and so, like, I mean, it was fine, it wasn't, like, a horrible conversation, but I just didn't expect to have anything like that. And I can tell, like you said, he was, like, looking for comfort, but... I don't know. I don't like, from one end, I'm like, maybe he should not have dragged me into it too.
Keep your business to yourself.
Yeah.
But you're just gonna throw it away.
But yeah, I mean, like, maybe who knows? Maybe he went home that night and was like, maybe I should consider a career in graphic design. Like, I don't know if he, like, how seriously he would take it, but I mean, I feel like a lot of people in high school take that computer graphics course and they just think it's all fun and dandy, because that's what I thought even back in the day. I was like, this is fun.
See,
I want to do this for a living.
See, that's the thing, man. That's why I really enjoyed the idea of Men in Black, is that the fact is, everyone has, like, their special skills, you know, that people don't know that they're really great at. I feel like when you're part of Men in Black, I know it's a fictional team, but I feel like they, like, when I envisioned about being part of Men in Black in my head, I was like, I feel like that's what they do. They bring out the specialness of you because you have this different take on the world, you know. Like, in the first episode, the first movie of Men in Black, like, Will Smith's character, like, he didn't follow any rules, you know what I mean? Like, there's one crucial scene in that movie, in the first one, that really, like, registered with me of, like, I think that in my head, I was like, is that me? And when they called Will Smith's character to basically go through an audition, or like a scout with, like, all these other Marines and all these top rank, like, officials, top rank, like, military people, right? And then through that whole entire, like, you know, training or whatever, like, the, we'll say, like, testing, you see these little quirks that Will Smith does differently than all the rest of, like, the best trained and the G.I. Joe this and all that stuff. You know, the small things of, like, all of them are having trouble opening. You know, there's this small little test. How, like, oh, everyone's having trouble filling out the form because, like, they weren't given, like, a table directly in front of them. And they felt like it wasn't right for them to grab at the table that's in the room, right? But Will Smith is like, there's a fucking table in the room. I'm going to go use this. You know, like, simple things like that.
It's resourceful.
Yeah, like, there's that resourcefulness that comes from coming at things at a different angle and being able to see things that aren't quite obvious. And in my head, I was like, I feel like that's how I connected with that, because I feel like maybe that's something that I do.
I think it's interesting to have that perspective, because sometimes people are, like, way too sucked into that world
and that's
that they're in.
And that's what I feel like was really important about, like, me liking Men in Black is, like, you know, the things around us are not what they seem. It's quite obvious, but to them it's normal day to day. It's like, oh yeah, those dogs do talk, oh yeah, there's an alien invasion all the time. It's mad. Like he, like in the first one, he's like, holy crap. So what? The world's coming to an end. And then Agent K is like, yeah, it happens every single day. Come on, let's go. You know, it's like that subtlety, that sort of nonchalantness. I love that. Like, I really love that. Yeah, I love that. I even love that with when they did that in Buffy. I'm like, the world's coming to an end again. Apocalypse is coming. It's like, okay, I guess we gotta go fight this. It's what we do, you know?
Speaking of Buffy, I saw this really cool image on Facebook that I guess, like, was through Raphael.
Yeah.
And it was a check that somebody wrote and said, like, to Joss Whedon, like, money amount. Like, whatever you want, and then whatever you need, and then, like, on the memo part, it just said, like, something like, any budget you need or something, we'll make it, and then it said, signed, everyone. Like, it's basically, like, here's any money that you need.
Do whatever you want. Joss Whedon's pretty freaking awesome. Avengers was awesome, you know? People are gonna nitpick it. Slimes of humanity are going to nitpick it because nothing's ever good enough for anyone, but they can shut their off.
Avengers sunk the battleship, too.
They did. What? What do you mean?
You know, battleship. Did it
come out?
Yeah, apparently Avengers sunk the battleship.
Nice.
I cannot get into battleship. There's too much, like, explosion, like, I don't know, G.I. Joe, Michael Bay in your face, like grade B version of that.
Just say
and
it.
Then,
just say
and
it.
And then Rihanna's in it. Nothing against her, but it's like, really?
I mean, just say it. It looks like bullshit.
I'm not gonna, like, seriously, I thought about the other day. I was like, would I watch that for free if somebody was like, hey, free ticket to Battleship? I don't think I would go. I'd be like, I want those 2 hours somewhere else.
You know why? Because when I see Battleship, I see a movie that's trying so hard to be something that's really probably not worth it. You know what I mean? Like, I look at that movie, I look at Battleship, and I'm like, wow, it looks really amazing, but how in the hell could this really pay off as good as I, you know, what am I trying to get out of watching this?
I guess you just watch explosions.
Yeah, you just want some shit, you want to watch it because you want to have a fucking eyegasm, and you want to have, like, go into a seizure with all this crazy shit going in. It's sort of similar how, like, back in the day with Image Comics, they had some crazy details on their artwork, everything looked crazy. But, like, at the end of the day, it's like, well, I didn't really get anything out of it because the story was sort of shallow. You know what I mean? It's the same thing with these over... I feel like with all these overly distractible, like, movies that have, like, too much going on, sometimes you just really want something that's focused, you know?
Yeah. So are you ready for a question from Al?
Well, I'll see if I can answer this in under 2 minutes.
Let's see if I can pull it up in under a second.
All right, go for it.
It's loading.
Loading, 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 reload, 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 reload.
All right.
All right. So I got to answer this in 2 minutes?
All right. No one says, quote, there are no stupid questions, unquote, anymore. That phrase used to be used a great deal, but no one does anymore. Have they learned that there are stupid questions? I have to imagine the people that use that phrase never really worked with the public. What phrase do you overhear now that is used too much and not really true?
Best thing ever. Every single time.
People just getting way too excited about something. They're like, oh my God, it's the best thing ever.
Best pie ever.
Lola Bunny from Looney Tunes.
Yeah. Best pie ever. Best website ever. Best movie ever. The everything ever. Ever, 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 ever. Shut the fuck up.
Ever, 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 ever. The Carolyn and Joe show is the best podcast ever.
I swear to God, everything is ever. Everything is the best week ever. Like, every single time.
Do you know what for me it is? It's the thing of, like, everybody's special.
Oh, also grind. Oh, going back on the grind. Here we go. I'm back on the grind. Here we go. Back on the grind. Fuck your grind. You know what a grind is? You don't.
Do you?
Why can't it just be,
how come everyone,
I'm working hard.
How come everyone goes around saying that everyone's
I'm
so
back
special?
On the grind. I'm back on my grind. I'm back on my grind. It's like, why do I even have to know about your grind? You know what I mean? Don't tell me about your grind. How about this? Don't tell Facebook your problems. Facebook is not going to help your problems.
It's just a release, and then it sounds like you're just a big complainer.
Like, I love it when people leave long paragraphs about, like, all, like, the
their grind.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, today I woke up.
Today this happened, and I got really pissed off, and this lady, blah, 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 pissed me off, stuff like that, instead of making a podcast, but they had to write it in a big paragraph. You know what? No one cares. And if, even if they do say they like it, it's because they feel bad. You know what I mean? Either that or they feel guilty. You know what? Facebook is not going to help your problems. You know what's going to help your problems? Bring back motherfucking pinball. Go watch Men in Black, because Men in Black as a lifestyle is awesome. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You know what? Go to Carolyn's curls-studio.com. New curl storyline's happening. It's awesome. It involves applause. It involves turtleneck. It's the best thing going ever.
The best ever.
That's right. AstrayProductions.com brings you this show. I hope you guys had a good week. Go
back
check
to the
us
grind.
Out. Back of the grind. Back go in your grind. Hustle. Catch you later, Carolyn.
Adios.